It's the seventh day of October already, 2018, year of our Lord at Zion Baptist Church, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, I know it's sort of a lengthy chapter to some degree, but I feel like it's, the title of the message today is "We're Not of Them That Draw Back." That's the last verse of chapter 10. "But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. We left off last week at the last verse of chapter 9. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now, he didn't come with any sin the first time he come, but he did come with infirmities. He did come with weaknesses in the flesh because he was human, a man just like we are. He got tired. He got weak. He got hungry. He got thirsty. He was a man. The Son of God, and yet the Son of Man, with a human nature that lived amongst the Jewish people that rejected him. But we'll start reading in chapter 10 of verse 1 and mention a little about things as we go through the chapter here. "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually, make the comers thereunto perfect." He's talking about the priest that offered sacrifices for the sins of the people, as they were commanded to do by the law of God. And the apostle here is letting the Hebrews know, and everybody know, that this law had been abrogated. It is over with. Jesus Christ being our sacrifice, being the altar, being everything, has done away with this law that had a shadow of good things to come, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. It all pointed to Him from Genesis all the way till the Lord come. The law, the Old Testament, pointed to the Lord Jesus. It pointed to the Son of God, the Messiah that would come and take away the sins of His people by His own blood, by His life of living and fulfilling the law of God perfectly in every way. "For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers once purged should have no more conscience of sin." But those, the blood of bulls and goats and rams could not wash away sins, nor purge their conscience from their sins. "But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me." The literal translation there is "a body thou hast fitted for me." And today we'll be taking the Lord's Supper, and the bread represents His body that He gave for us. He gave for His people. He gave for all those that He'll raise up on that last day. Sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Well, then why did he command them to do it? If he had no pleasure in those things, why did he command his people, the priest, Moses, Aaron, and all those that followed, to offer those sacrifices? He had no pleasure in them. It was letting the people know. It was letting the Jewish people know and the world know, as far as the Jewish people had anything to do with them, that those sacrifices was a type and a figure of what the Lord Jesus would do when he come. That he would offer himself as a sacrifice for the sins of his people. They were never meant to wash away the sins of the people. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. Let me read that correctly. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. Had somebody send me an email one time and told me I ought not to call it the book. Because I tell folks on a regular basis to read the book. And they said, you ought not to call it the book. What did he call it right there? Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. It is the book. As far as I'm concerned, it's the only book. There are many man-written books that are fine to read if you want to read them, but they're not called the book.
Amen.
This one is the book. It's the book that's worth reading. It's the book that's worth obeying. It's the book that's worth remembering and memorizing and keeping in your head and in your heart. It is the book. To do thy will, O God. Above, when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, were offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. In other words, the old law of sacrifices and offerings he abolished, fulfilled, done away with, that he may establish a new covenant with his people. The one that the prophets prophesied about. That there's coming a day when I'll make a new covenant with my people. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. For all his people, he offered his body that we might have everlasting life. Now, as you well know, everybody's not saved. Not everybody is a sheep. Many of them are goats. And there's nothing we can do about the goats. We can still preach to them. And we ought to. There are going to be different degrees of punishment in hell, there's no doubt, from reading the scriptures. It's easy to understand. We do not know who the elect are and who are not, so we preach to all the same that they should repent of their sins and turn from them and serve the living God. But of them that believe, to the saving of the soul are those that are the elect of God.
Amen. Amen.
They will believe. They can't help but believe. God gives them faith to believe. And they will believe. And they'll come running to the Lord Jesus. Like Mary Magdalene. Want to hold on to his feet and worship him. Like Thomas, when he felt of his hands, and run his hands into his side and felt this, where the spear had entered him, said, "My Lord and my God." All believers will come to him. All the elect, all those that he gave his body for, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. I hope you realize that's the only reason that we're able to approach the throne of grace and call upon our God is because we've been sanctified by the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
His righteousness has been imputed on our behalf.
Right.
Therefore, we are able to approach the throne of grace and come before the Almighty God and say, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name."
Amen.
That's the only way we're able to come. Anybody else that tries to offer up a prayer is just hollering at the clouds. It's of no avail to them. You must be born from above by the Spirit of the living God, sanctified by the Lord Jesus, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more." Did you have anything to do with that?
No.
Not a thing. Not a thing. Every bit of that was God. Whereof the Holy Ghost is also a witness to us, for after that he had said before, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I, God, will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them." He's talking about out of the book. Every believer, every truly born again believer washed in the blood of the Lamb, when he reads the book or when he hears it read to him, it's burnt in his mind and in his heart. And he remembers when he's going through his work day, when he's going to the marketplaces, when he's doing whatever he's doing, the Word of God is burnt there. It's written in his heart. It's written in his mind. He cannot escape it. It convicts him of his sin. It convinces him of the living God. The rest of the world can go to hell. The rest of the world can go about their business and have no conscience of their sins. But not a believer. It's always on his mind. He's always thinking about his God. Now, I don't know about you folks. I don't know about the rest of the world and all the other elect of God, but I know about me. It's every day. It's every time I bow my head or think about it. Lord, forgive me of my sins. that I have done something that caused Jesus to have to shed his blood and pay for my sins. My helper will not take a bite of food until he waits for me to ask the Lord to bless the food. And I always say, every time, Lord, forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of our sins. It's an awful thing how we can even sin after the Lord Jesus gave his body. But we have this old nature that we have to deal with and to fight with. You know, I hadn't even looked at my notes. That's okay. Let's read that last verse again. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sins.
Amen.
Amen. What a wonderful thing. Is there a better chapter in the book?
No.
Is there a better chapter in the book that gives such wonderful declarations of what the Lord Jesus has done for his people? Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our hope without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Now, I don't know what the world sees when they read that, but that makes me want to shout and jump and holler hallelujah.
Amen.
I mean, what a wonderful thing. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, which we are about to take the bread that represents that. What a wonderful day. Now what the world reads when they read that, I do not know. But to me it's a wonderful thing to know that through the faith that was given me by the Spirit of the living God, I can enter into the holiest of holies like the high priest and come before my God and ask him for all the things that I need. I can thank him for all the things that I can remember of what a great God he is. I can worship him there. I can have communion with my God because I've been sanctified by the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful day. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Only the blood of Jesus can do that for you. The blood of bulls and goats can't do that for you. It can't clear your conscience that I'm no longer held an enemy of God's because of my sin. I've been washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. Let us hold fast the profession of our hope without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now all this at the first of this chapter is good doctrine. It's wonderful doctrine. It's the truth of the gospel. And then he turns right here at verse 24 and starts talking about practical living here. How you're supposed to keep yourselves. Let us provoke one another unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I didn't even have to look at that. That's an important verse to me. That we don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You don't forsake that for any reason. This is where you get your food. This is where you get fed. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Don't you worry about those people that do despite unto the Spirit of grace. We pray for them like we do for all mankind. And we pray for all those who trod underfoot the Son of God. They will get their due punishment on Judgment Day. They will hear those terrible and awful words, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. And only by the grace of God will we hear those wonderful words, enter in. It'll be a sad day, but it'll be a wonderful day to hear, enter in, thou good and faithful servant. No wonder God's people will fall down at the feet of Jesus and cast their crown at his feet, because I don't feel like I've been a good and a faithful servant. But he'll say, enter in, thou good and faithful servant. What a merciful God. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both right by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while ye became companions of them that were so used. He's talking about the Jews and how they were mistreated by other Jews. He's talking about Christian Jews that were mistreated, and all these things happened to by other Jews. And by the Romans. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. In other words, they didn't worry about what was happening to them on this earth. It was not that concerning to them that the Jews kicked them out of the synagogues. It was not so concerning to them of how they lost and stole and took their goods, their properties, left them out in the cold, all for the sake of Christ. All for the sake of Christ. You took it joyfully. The spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. In other words, just hang in there. The promise is coming. The promise of eternal life and the promise of heaven is coming. You can count on it. You can count on it just as much as Revelation 13, 8 says that he was as slain from the foundation of the world. It was a done deal before he ever shed his blood.
That's right.
When he made the covenant with his Father in eternity past, it was a done deal. It was as though it had already been accomplished. He still had to come. He still had to suffer. He still had to shed his blood for our sins. But as far as the Father was concerned, it was a done deal. As slain before the foundation of the world. So don't cast away your confidence. It has a great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. That kind of sounds like, you better keep on believing. You better examine yourselves to be sure about your election. Because there's many that'll turn back. Which means they never were born from above to start with. Because all those that are born from above will continue to the end. He that endureth unto the end, the Bible says. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. I guess there's a whole lot of church folks that, well, you can just look at the churches these days and what they're teaching and what they're, I can't call that preaching, but what they're doing behind the sacred desk, what they're doing in the churches in order to keep people coming, because see, it's all about people coming. It's all about how many you got in church, and we don't have very many at Zion, because I'm not going to succumb to that. I'm not going to worry about how many's coming or how many's not coming, as long as I can preach the truth of the gospel. I can preach what's in the book. But you see how few we are. If I wanted a lot of people to come, then we'd start doing what all the other modern day churches are doing. We would entertain them, because people like to be entertained. They want to be patted on the back. They want to be in charge of this program and that program and have youth programs and have youth ministers and somebody besides Brother Guy leading the singing. They want one of those fellows who's been trained in it and quartet singing. And that's not saving people's souls. He said, well, preacher, you're not saving many souls either. No, and I never have, never will. But I will preach the truth. I will preach the truth. Till my dying day, as the Lord gives me strength and gives me the right mind, I'll preach the truth of this gospel to my dying day. Even if it has to be on the street. But I'm not going to succumb to entertaining people just so I can get more folks to come. That's a sad, sad thing. It's a sad thing to see preachers stoop so low that they'll go to such tactics just to get more people to come to church.
Amen.
I wish some of them would invite me and let me come preach to them a little bit, though. I probably wouldn't get to go but once, and probably wouldn't get through. But at least I'd have opportunity one time to preach some of these modern-day places, where they'd get to hear a little bit of the truth. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. All of his people believe that. Doesn't matter what the rest of the world's doing and what all the other churches are doing, his people believe he's coming back. The second time, he's coming back. Now the just shall live by faith. What else can we do? What else can we do? We live by faith. We've been given the gift of faith, and we live by faith. We believe. We believe the Lord Jesus has imputed righteousness on our behalf before the throne of God. We believe that He's going to return again and receive His own people to Himself, and the dead in Christ shall rise. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition.
Amen.
We are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. That's God's people.
Amen.
That's the sheep that Jesus died for and gave Himself for.
Amen.
What a wonderful day it is. Brother Guy, you and Brother Thomas come and when we get through today with the Lord's Supper, instead of singing "Blessed Be the Tie," I'd like us to turn to Psalm 19 and sing Psalm 19. Because where Brother Thomas was preaching this morning, it says that they sang a hymn and went out. Well, if you actually read that, it says they sang a psalm and went out to the Mount of Olives. So I'd like us to sing those few verses there in Psalm 19. You know, I almost could have just read that same chapter for the Lord's Supper here. Isn't that wonderful? How He gave Himself, He gave His body, His flesh for His people. This is a time to remember until the Lord comes again what He did for His people. He gave Himself. He shed His blood and He gave His body for His people. For the sins of His people, that our sins might be remitted. That we might be forgiven of our sins and our consciences cleared of the guilt of our sin. It ought to be that we worship Him even the more every day for what He's done for His people. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. I like that. I like that. Have you received of the Lord and you delivered unto other people? That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. Brother, if you'll take that and break that bread for me.
I clean my hands.
Sir?
I clean my hands.
Okay, go ahead. Thank you. When He had given thanks, He broke it. Can you imagine seeing the Lord Jesus just before He went to the Mount of Olives, where He said, "My spirit sorrowful," breaking bread to give to His disciples. What a wonderful day it must have been for His disciples. And when He told them, "One of you is going to betray me," the Bible says they were all very sorrowful. And all of them said, "Lord, is it I that will betray you?" Oh, our God, how we thank you for your wonderful grace and mercy. Help us always to remember, Lord, on a daily basis, how you give your body for us, for your sheep. Help us to have a better attitude of being a servant unto thee, our God. Help us to feel like Thomas did when he put his hands, when he put his fingers in the palms of your hands and felt the nail holes and run it into your side and felt the spear, where the spear had been. Let us with much confidence say, "Our Lord and our God." We thank you for your body. We ask you to bless this bread as it is a symbol of your body. We ask it in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You men go ahead and pass out both, and then we'll bless the ask the Lord to bless the both of them. First Corinthians chapter 11 is a good place if you want to read about the Lord's Supper and what the apostle has to say about it. First Corinthians chapter 11 is a good place to do that. And he lets you know they use wine there instead of grape juice in the Lord's Supper, because he said, for first of all, when you come together in the church, hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it, for there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before you his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. You can't get drunk off of grape juice. What, have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. The apostle could kind of get on you, couldn't he? Thank the Lord that he had this wonderful things to say, that what he had received of the Lord, he also delivered unto you. But the Lord Jesus, same night in which he betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you." You may take the bread. And after the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye do it, drink it in remembrance of me." Our God, we thank you for your blood. Lord, it's what's washed away our sin. We could spend the rest of our days on this earth constantly worshiping and praising you, and it would not be enough. Oh, our wonderful God, what great love you have for your people. Lord Jesus, have mercy upon us and strengthen us that we might be better servants, that we might remember the shedding of your blood that washed us clean from our sin and allows us to even approach the throne of grace. Forgive us of our sins, O Lord. Forgive us of our transgressions. Help us tomorrow, the rest of this day and every day from now until we draw our last, to worship Thee in good works, in the things that we do every day, witness to other people and do those things that are pleasing unto Thee, our God. Thank You for the shedding of Your blood. Amen.
Amen.
Take the cup. If you'll turn to Psalm 19, we'll do what the disciples did. And the Lord Jesus, before they went out to the Mount of Olives, where He sweated drops of blood. Now, if I'm not mistaken, we sing verse 7, and then the chorus is verse 10, and verse 8, and then the chorus is verse 10, verse 9, in verse 10, and then verse 14, and verse 10 again. That's the way you understand it?
Something like that.
The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, strength and Redeemer. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Amen.
Moreover, by them is Thy servant warned.
I'm sorry.
Is Thy servant
warned. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. I think you got that. Amen. You're dismissed. The Lord bless you.
I think if you go read Gill on that, or some of the commentators, they tell you which psalm it was that they sung.
Oh.
Yeah. Probably. I think they don't know absolutely. Excuse me. They don't know absolutely, but...
I'm sorry I can't shake your hands and hug your neck, but I feel like I got fever right now, and I probably don't need to be around y'all.
Thank you, Julie, baby.
I think most people believe it was one of the psalms they generally sung at the Passover.
Okay.
And I can't remember which ones it is. Like I said, if you go read on